I've always wanted to make that a word.
What?
Goodly.
Why goodly?
I don't know. I think it's funny.
Sounds like the name of, like, a rejected Office character.
Like, from the show The Office?
Yeah, like Greg... Ooh, it's Greg Goodly.
Greg Goodly?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's a silly guy, but good at good-natured and...
No, the joke would be his name is Goodly, but he's a f***.
Yeah,
Goodly,
you
are a son of a bitch. Right?
I love how you just cut right to the chase. Hey, you know that ass at work? It's this guy, Goodly.
Goodly, man, he's a fucking ass.
There you go.
Oh my god. They could never. They can
Welcome to the Office!
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We can go off onto a random assortment of topics, but we try to stick to our three main headers: the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and the non-fortune cookie odd news. You have a full course meal,
yeah,
ready to go in your head right now.
Full course meal. A full course. I can't talk. This does not bode well.
Yeah,
you're a full course meal. Full course meal in their head.
Yes.
For an auditory delight.
Exactly.
Ooh, delicious.
If Mike can make it through the whole show.
There's a very high probability I won't be able to.
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
It's all right.
I can bounce back. Shake it off. I'm like Taylor Swift, right?
Oh, God.
That is her song, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm not hip with the music.
I'm sorry. I really am trying to be open-minded to, like, current music.
Did I just set you off on something?
Maybe. But, you know, Taylor Swift is just... I can't stand her.
I've never listened to any of her music, so... I mean, I don't know. I just don't know.
I'm surprised you haven't, because, you know, I work in an office, and...
I don't work in an office.
Used to, didn't you?
No.
No? I thought you did. All right, whatever. Sorry. Oh, that's the other mic. Sorry.
I've gotten lucky, yeah.
Luck, good for you.
But so they play Taylor Swift at your office?
Yeah, every now and then, because, you know, they play the top 40
rotation. So you hear a lot of Taylor Swift, probably.
Yeah.
She has, like, what, like 25 of the top 40, probably?
Probably. But, like, there's one song. I don't think it's – maybe it is Shake It Off. I don't know. There's one song where she says something like – boys only want love if it's torture. And it's like, no, what? I just want a simple relationship.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah,
really.
I don't want torture.
Oops. Whoops, wow, oh man.
I'm already starting off strong, whoops.
Wow, does that mean that we can say whatever we want this episode?
Damn you, Mark Wahlberg! See, I'm already pissed off.
Oh my god.
The thing that pisses me off. Yeah.
I got you in that mood from what we were talking about beforehand.
Yeah, look what you made me do, Mike. I'm sorry. Cursed.
I know, that man. Like what, like 5 minutes into the show, you're just dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, you know what?
Mother effer, F this, F that.
Yeah, maybe. We could go.
Shake it off, try F it off. That fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Man.
But anyway, the point is, I think Taylor Swift has a very illogical view of how men view relationships. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I've always been of the opinion that, you know, she always sings about all these, like, horrible relationships she's been in. And I'm just thinking, maybe at this point it's not so much the guy's fault. I'm just saying. Like, if she's been through, like, 40-some relationships in, like, 3 years, I mean, come on. I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit,
but
you know what
I think it's 40, but yeah, it is a lot.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and every time she breaks up with a guy, she writes an album and...
Well, that's one way to get popular. Ugh. Date Taylor Swift for a month and then have a song written about you.
Great. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, so yeah, in conclusion, I'm sick of Taylor Swift. All right, how the hell did we get started?
All I know is that I found the button that will make you curse on this podcast is Taylor Swift. So every once in a while, I'll just drop in, like, shake it off, and you'll just go off. Excellent. This is going to be fun.
There you go. All right, well, before I start into more profanities, we like to do a lovely recap of what we're up to in the week since we've been on the air. So, Mike, regale us. What have you been up to in the time since we last did the show last week?
Well, I'll get us back on track because I have a correction to make. I'm so sorry to say this. I forgot my dad's birthday last week.
What?
I know. I forgot. I'm
Mr.
sorry.
Cassandra's birthday?
Yeah, his birthday was the 26th.
Sunday! Yeah. We forgot your legendary. I know. Dad's birthday.
Yeah,
how could we?
I know.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
I feel so bad about it.
Did he get his hot dog and hamburger?
No, we didn't have hot dogs and hamburgers that night. But we did have hot dogs and hamburgers one other night that week. We cooked out.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Your poor dad, he's waiting for his favorite food.
I know.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
We did, just not on his birthday.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Yeah, so happy birthday, Dad. Yeah. Sorry I forgot. It's like 2 weeks late. Because of our recording schedule, it's like, it's weird. But anyway, so I just had to make that correction. And the second thing I have to say, I have to give a shout out to my brother, our executive producer, John Bruno. He's graduating this week from college.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, he's finished Temple. Yeah.
It's happening.
It's happening. It's happening with the GIF. Yeah.
Yeah, the Ron Paul. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. It's been a long journey for him, but we're all super proud of him. So congratulations, JB. Good job.
See ya.
You're on your own.
That's basically what they do. They give you your they give you your tuition. They give you your your diploma and then a bill, and they're like, see ya.
See ya.
You're on your own.
Yeah. So
the American.
Congratulations, Bruno. Yeah.
Congratulations. So that's what I also watched Whiplash over the weekend, which is an amazing movie.
There you go.
Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But that's what I've been up to is making corrections and getting ready to celebrate. What have you been up to, Rich? I know that a very special day recently happened for you.
What, very special?
Star Wars Day.
Oh, yes. A Star Wars Day, yes. That was May the 4th. I was like, what? Yes. Did I get, like, engaged? What the hell?
You got married, yeah. Yeah.
Taylor Swift. What? Yeah. What did that happen?
Rich started dating Taylor Swift.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer. Oh, no.
But no, I'm kidding. No, we're both huge fans of Star Wars here. It was recently Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
I know you are the de facto Star Wars guy, so did you watch any Star Wars movies or... Because I know you're partial to Attack of the Clones,
no,
right?
No.
No?
No, actually, I didn't watch the movies, but you know what I did?
What?
I went onto Steam, and I downloaded a very old but classic game that I encourage all the youngins to play, and that is TIE Fighter.
Wow.
All right.
That is an old one.
Yes. It runs on DOS.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
They sell that on Steam?
Yeah. You have to get like a DOS box and it's crazy. They do have a Windows version if you want to just run with that.
But you wanted the...
I wanted to try and get the
old school original one.
Right.
That's cool.
I wanted to get the old experience with like the old like bit music.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how else to explain it other than it's like that. Like
it's like that chiptune like... Like that.
Yeah, sort of, right. But personally, that was one of the games I had growing up as a kid, and that was just a badass game, TIE Fighter.
So did you get it up and running? You've been playing it?
Yeah, you know, I took it out for a spin. And,
nice.
Yeah.
You have to get... Does it support the joystick, the flight stick?
Yeah, if you have one, yeah.
Yeah? Oh, you should get one for the full experience.
What I find cool about that was like one of the very first games I remember where you played as the bad guy. I don't remember, I mean, I don't know, at least not to my knowledge, games that were out where you were encouraged to play the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about it. I can't really recall. I'm sure there are some out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, but I don't remember personally.
And well, with more modern games, there's that whole moral gray area. It's like, are you really the bad guy? Like in Red Dead Redemption and The Last of Us.
Yeah.
But you mean like specifically like
You're playing as the Empire.
Yeah, you're playing as the enemy. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was awesome because you were in the TIE fighters.
Everybody loves the Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come to the dark side.
Yes.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to the dark side. Is that the quote?
Actually, no. That's actually Yoda. Yoda's actually saying that.
No, wait. He says...
Yeah, Yoda...
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're confusing the Phantom Menace.
I messed up. I have to do a punishment now.
Yeah, you mixed up.
Fear leads to anger.
Yeah,
right. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to the dark side.
No, hate leads to suffering.
Whatever. Jesus Christ.
Mike, if you're going to quote Star Wars...
Who's the only non-Jedi to use a lightsaber?
Han Solo.
I knew you would know that.
Yeah.
Han Solo, Empire Strikes Back.
That's true.
He uses it to cut open the Tauntaun, keep Luke warm.
God. I just can't compete against you. Do you remember that one time we played that trivia game at your house? There's like that really obscure question and asked like what the name of the droid that pops out of the door in Return of the Jedi? You don't remember that.
No, I don't remember
that. I remember that because I said
it was some
I said door droid. And they had a whole freaking name for it with numbers and letters. I'm like, how is that even fair?
Nah, it can't be as simple as door droid.
Star Wars bastards.
What you have to realize is that George Lucas is a nerd himself. So when he creates the Star Wars universe, it's not going to be easy to explain. It's a nerd talking about a nerd world with nerd thinking, with nerd logic. If you can understand all of that, it's essentially the sci-fi nerd equivalent of trying to explain Inception. It's a nerd within a nerd in a sci-fi universe in a nerd.
A nerd within a nerd.
Yeah. That's the only way I can explain that to you as the reasons why you can't just call it a door droid.
Okay, sorry.
So,
hey, I'm just as big a nerd as everybody else here. There's only two of us here. So I think it sounds like there's hundreds of people around this table.
Yeah, we have a silent audience.
Yeah, very quiet.
Yes. They just keep to themselves.
They golf clap in between segments.
Well, there you go. Little snippet. Oh, wait. There's something else I wanted to...
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. What else have you been up to?
Yeah, there was something else I wanted to mention. And that was I saw Avengers.
I can't believe we forgot to talk about that.
We keep going on nerd topics. I'm keeping it up.
So I got to ask you, how was the Avengers? Because I didn't get a chance to see it yet.
I can't believe you didn't get a chance to
see it. I know. I hate myself.
Wow.
I was really upset that I didn't get a chance to see it.
Oh, poor Mike.
I had to work. God damn it. Stupid responsibility.
Being an adult.
Being an adult. What is this nonsense? No, but honestly, I mean, I really did want to go, but you got a chance to go check it out a couple hours before it opened officially for everyone else, right?
It was
minor advanced screening.
A minor advanced screening, yeah.
Yeah.
But so how was the film? What is your reaction on a scale of 1 to 10? What'd you give it?
I enjoyed the film. I thought it lived up to the hype. I thought it did what it had to do. It left you wanting for Captain America Civil War. I can't wait for that.
Oh, really? Does it set up that? No spoilers.
Okay. Spoilers.
Well, we all know it was leading to that.
But we all know there's a divide between Captain America and Tony Stark. Stark is...
That is well established in Avengers, the first one.
Yeah, he's the flashy Iron Man,
billionaire, philanthropist, genius, as he puts it.
Right, he wants to take action now, he doesn't want to wait for BS and all that stuff. Captain America, on the other hand, he wants to do things by the book.
Right.
So you can understand the two logics that are clashing.
There's a natural, struggle between these two ideologies.
Right. And Avengers 2 does a good job of really driving a stake in between those two.
Nice.
And, I think it really sets the stage up for Captain America Civil War.
Oh, I'm so excited for that one. That's the storyline I've been wanting them to do with Civil War.
Yeah. That's going to make the Marvel Universe even better.
Of course, that's going to be the soft reboot of Spider-Man, too.
Yeah.
So that movie has... What are you laughing about?
I got something I have to mention to you.
Oh, God.
So I saw this on the internet. Yeah. In Avengers 2, it's not really a big spoiler. Whatever.
Okay.
There's a scene in it where one of the new Avengers kind of panics in the face of danger.
Yeah.
And she kind of has like a panic attack in the middle of like the big final fight.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye like grabs her and is like, you need to, you know, get your composure. They're like behind a door. And he says something like, the moment I open this door, you're either fighting or you're staying here and you're hiding, but you're not going to, you know, do half and half.
Right.
And then he says something to the line of, if you walk out that door, you're an Avenger. And someone took that clip where Hawkeye says, if you walk out that door, you're an Avenger.
Yeah.
And superimposed Spider-Man running through it. Like not even saying hello, just running through it. Please make me relevant again.
Yeah. Well, it's about time. I mean, God.
Yeah, so
I had to bring that to your attention since you're a Spider-Man.
Yeah, I am, yeah. But I'm super excited for Spider-Man to be rebooted in Civil War, and I'm excited that Avengers Age of Ultron sets up Civil War.
Yeah.
It's adding to the hype train, and it's like the crazy train. It's just going off the rails.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne singing.
And to even add more hype to it, I forget his name now off the top of my head. The guy that was in Sherlock and the Hobbit movies. What's his name?
Martin Freeman.
Yeah, Martin Freeman.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw the headline.
He is confirmed to play a part in it, so.
Who could he? I can't imagine who he could play.
It's just going to be loaded with stars. It's going to be
great. I don't even know how they manage it now with all these A-list stars now. They weren't A-list stars when they started, but now they are.
Yeah, so we'll see how that ends up. To go back to your original question.
Okay.
I would give it 4 out of 5 stars.
4 out of 5?
Yeah.
Okay,
nice. There were ways it could have been better.
Yeah. Well, no movie's ever perfect, unless it's The Godfather.
Yeah. The biggest complaint I have is what I like to call destruction porn.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get tired of this.
That has been a common complaint with... the superhero movies, but in movies in general, especially like
it's like
the Transformers series.
Yeah, it's like every fight has to have buildings collapsing and cars getting destroyed, and it gets to a point where like if a hero, you know, gets thrown into a building, you're just like, oh, all right, he'll get back up.
He'll get back up. Yeah,
yeah.
This is Disney's Marvel after all,
right? But you know, it started with Man of Steel, and I feel like it's just gotten worse with almost every movie.
Yeah, it's sort of the trend nowadays. And you know,
throw him into a building.
Yeah. All right. And you know, even though Nolan's Batman films are lauded as being some of the best superhero action films, I mean, even those, the first one, city gets destroyed. Third one, city gets destroyed again.
Yeah.
You know, I forget what happened. The second one, the city doesn't really get destroyed.
No, not really.
But the first and the third, the city was completely destroyed.
Yeah.
With Scarecrow taking over and then Bane collapsing stadiums and stuff. So, I mean, even in the most highly regarded of the superhero films, it's become, or it has been, an issue.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway.
We've talked a lot.
Yeah, we did.
About this. I mean, this could have been a whole segment.
I know. Whoops.
Have we earned our nerddom?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, there you go. This introduction segment was all about nerd subjects.
Yes.
Sorry.
There's nothing to apologize, Rich. This is the best type of conversation to have.
All right, well, let's get away from the nerd subjects. If you are a sports guy, you'll like our first segment. You'll stop screaming at the computer, nerds, and instead we'll jump right into the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face, ha!
Yep.
I just imagine everyone like sitting at their computer, nerds, just screaming at it.
It's from Revenge of the Nerds. So another nerd reference.
All right, well let's
stop being nerds. All right, we got to get serious.
All right, let's talk about something serious, like some football talk, Rich.
Oh yeah, it's time for some football talk, and we got to go over the results of the NFL draft.
Now, once again, what kind of a loser just sits there watching round after round. The Jets are up next.
I think they need a cornerback. They need to improve the defensive line.
Dude, that's like going to a graduation ceremony where you don't know anybody who's graduating. It's just sitting there. They're gonna have the whole list the next day. They'll have everybody who drafted who, when. You gotta sit there and watch that shit. Those stupid interviews. Hey, you're a member of the Buffalo Bills. How does it feel?
Well, it's a blessing. I want to thank God. I'm going to try to do my best. It's a great organization. And I'll say the last 80 guys said. So, yeah.
That is so true. It's one of the most accurate portrayals I've ever heard of what the NFL draft is like.
That was Bill Burr in his latest stand-up special, which is on Netflix, by the way.
Another pitch for Netflix, huh?
Yeah. But, yeah, there you go.
That's
your 60-second recap of every NFL draft in history.
Well, now I feel silly for wanting to talk about the draft. So we'll go right on. No, I'm kidding.
No,
we do have some stuff to talk about with the NFL draft, some big storylines. Of course, we're going to talk about what happened to the two quarterbacks in the first round, and then we're going to wrap up by dissecting the Eagles' picks because we got to get to those. But first up, let's talk about one of the biggest storylines of the draft. There was an LSU offensive tackle by the name of Lael Collins. This guy was supposedly a really great talent. He's supposed to go in the top 15 or 20 of the first round. This is big bucks right there. I mean, we're talking instant NFL starter. However, just a few days before the draft, he gets wrapped up in this investigation of the shooting death of a pregnant woman, one of his ex-girlfriends. The Louisiana police were not targeting him as a suspect, but they had to bring him in for questioning. And of course, this affects his draft stock. He goes from top 15 to saying, I won't sign any deal that is given to me before the fourth round. So he said he wants to sit out the first three rounds to try and make up for this off the field issue. Then he wonders, oh, well, maybe I can reapply for the 2016 draft. Nope, that's not allowed. So instead, he tumbles and tumbles and tumbles all the way out of the draft.
Which is career killing at this point.
Top 15 pick to undrafted. I mean, that is a pretty big blow. I mean, at one point he was projected to make several million dollars, at least $10-11 million. Now the minimum that he the base salary that he can get is a 3-year deal. Worth, I think it's $1.5 million. So this has got to be devastating for this character.
This is so bad.
Yeah, this is not a good story for Mr. Collins here.
No, not at all. What do you make of this, though? Do you think maybe some teams should take a chance on him? Or do you think teams are going to shy away from somebody that has off-the-field issues like this? Even though he's not being targeted as a suspect, do you think teams will shy away from this off-the-field issue given everything that's happened the past year in the NFL?
Well, I mean, now that he goes undrafted, now I don't see why teams shouldn't go and see him as like a low-risk, quick pickup.
Yeah, especially with his talent. Remember, he's supposed to be top 15 here. So here's the question. If the Eagles were to target Mr. Lael Collins, how would you feel about that? He does bring baggage with him, but then the idea of getting a top 15 pick for barely anything.
Yeah, I think it's at least worth signing him and seeing if he can, if he meshes well with your team. I mean, also, lest we forget, this is the NFL. You can cut a player for any reason.
That's true.
And if they're not guaranteed money, you don't have to pay him.
That's true. Especially with an undrafted rookie contract.
Yeah.
You can probably bring him in. If you get a whiff of something, goodbye. Done. Yeah. No guaranteed money, no issues.
I mean, I don't see this as a big risk.
So you're saying that teams should be all over Mr. Collins.
I mean, I just don't see the hesitance to at least offer him something. I mean,
well, I guess the issue is they don't want to get stuck in another Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice type situation.
Yeah, but this isn't Adrian Peterson. You're not being locked into a contract. You're not dealing with a top five draft pick. You're dealing, I'm sorry, with somebody who went undrafted.
Right. Well, I mean,
the teams would have the advantage in making a contract
but
offer.
But there is still the issue of being a distraction to both, you know, the locker room and the team in general.
If he's that big of a distraction, just let him go.
Okay.
The team right now, the NFL teams have the advantage on Mr. Collins, whether he wants to admit it or not.
Well, I think he realizes that. That's why at one point he said that he would be willing to sit out the first three rounds because he was trying to recoup some of what he lost. But I think it's very telling that even though he said he was going to sit out the first three rounds, nobody drafted him. I mean, around 4, 5, 6, or 7. That's pretty telling.
There also might be something that we don't know.
That could be the case.
Yeah.
That could be the case.
You know, it's amazing what the scouts that researched all the draft players will look into. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I hear that their interview process really delves deep into, like, the personal, character of these players. Like, they ask them really probing questions, from what I understand. So maybe they did find out something that we don't know.
Right. So
I mean, I hate to speculate about this young man's future like this, but I just think it's very telling that no team drafted him in 4 rounds, especially that late. You know?
Yeah.
When you talk about draft steals, could you imagine getting a potential top 15 pick in, like, the 6th round? You know?
Yeah, you think somebody would take a chance on him.
Yeah, so if your argument, you know, carries weight to it, then why wouldn't they just snatch him up in the 4th or 5th round as soon as he said he would start accepting offers?
Yeah. I don't know. There might be something we don't know.
It's very, very strange and very, very sad for him too, I think.
Well, yeah, he's gonna lose out on millions of dollars here.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be career ending, but I think he's definitely gonna have a huge uphill battle.
Yep. So there you go, an example of the fates that may happen at the draft.
Yes. But two fates that were, you know, completely without question were those of Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. These two quarterbacks were projected to go 1 and 2 in almost every single draft, mock draft that I saw.
And they did.
Yeah. And unsurprisingly, they went number 1 and number 2. Jameis Winston was signed number 1 overall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Marcus Mariota went number 2 to the Tennessee Titans. That is not a surprise. Even we said there's no way the Titans don't take Mariota.
No. But I'll tell you what, I am actually more relieved that the Eagles didn't mortgage the future on getting Mariota.
Well, you know, Chip Kelly said he wouldn't, but everybody thought he was going to.
And it's because of this simple reason.
Okay.
After hearing some of the ridiculous trade bait and trade offerings and ideas that were being thrown around and being leaked and all this hoopla and we're going to do a crazy 14 trade. Oh, we're going to trade multiple.
At one point, I heard multiple picks plus Michael Kendricks and Fletcher Cox, and I said, "You have got to be insane."
Yeah, right. After all of that hoopla,
yeah,
the Titans denied everything. They denied everything that came their way.
Yeah.
So now it's up to the Titans to make sure that Mariota lives up to the hype, and it's on the Titans' back now.
Yeah.
To make sure he does, because guess what? They turned down a lot of insane offers for him.
They did. You have to imagine every team was inquiring about that number 2 pick.
Yeah.
I mean, teams would be insane not to, you know, because of the hype storm that the Eagles created. Whether it was true or false, the Eagles created this crazy whirlwind of news reports and rumors. I think most of it was just for show. I think the Eagles were putting out a lot of BS to drum up hype, to confuse teams, because ultimately the Eagles ended up not moving at all. They stayed exactly where they were. They made the most boring pick, but a smart pick at number 20. They ended up taking wide receiver Nelson Aguilar. I hope I'm saying that right.
I think you are.
Yeah. Nelson Aguilar out of USC. And a lot of people are saying this is a really good pick for the Eagles.
Yes.
They're saying, you know, he can.
This guy is essentially
Jeremy Macklin.
Jeremy Macklin 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we got.
I already forgot his name. Yeah. He's gone.
Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. Yeah. But you look at...
Who are you? Who are you and get off of my lawn?
We already have the shotgun out.
Yeah.
But some user on the Eagles subreddit put up a chart of Jeremy Macklin's measurables, meaning his height, his weight, his hand size, his 40 time, bench press, et cetera, compared with Nelson Aguilar's. Almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
In almost every single regard. The two differences, Nelson is younger, Nelson doesn't have the knee injuries, and he's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So in my mind, this is a very smart pick. It's a very safe pick, fills the need that we had, and most importantly for Chip Kelly is we always hear this talk about, you know, players that fit his system both on and off the field. This guy is great character. He said, quote, that he should work like a peasant. I love that mentality. That blue-collar work ethic where he's not going to be like DeSean Jackson or LeSean McCoy, right? And apparently he has great size and speed. He can play inside or outside. They say that he can come in and he can make a difference on day one if they give him a shot. So I'm really excited for this first pick. I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think this was a great first-round pick to go if they weren't going to move up in the draft, which they didn't.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to this much needed improvement to the wide receiving core, because I'm still a little worried about the wide receiving core, but this at least alleviates.
I think they're going. You know how they say in fantasy football, you introduced me to this term, running back by committee.
Yeah,
this is wide receiver by committee.
Yeah.
Well, look, we have DeMarco Murray. I mean, we're going to have a fantastic run game. We still have a very strong offensive line. We have Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, who are both very good at tight end. So I think we might be able to get away with this wide receiver by committee. We've seen other teams do it before. The Patriots have done it. The Seahawks have done it. So we'll have to see if the Eagles can do something similar, because they have a lot of good talent. Not great or elite talent, but good talent. And I think, you know, balanced with a strong run game, I think that might be successful for the most part.
Yep. So looking forward to that addition there. What are the other picks the Eagles made?
So the other pick that I'm really excited about is our second-round pick, 47th overall. We took Eric Rowe, cornerback from Utah. And again, this is a pick that a lot of people are excited about. They say that he is a great talent at cornerback, but the most important aspect is that he can also play safety. And he has the size to match up with bigger wide receivers in the NFL. He's 6'1", 205. He's very versatile. So he can play cornerback, he can play safety. I think he played safety for 3 years before he switched to cornerback. 3 years before moving to corner. So, you know, that's what we need in the secondary. We need a guy that can fill multiple roles, because as you know, we need depth at cornerback and we're also missing a safety. So for my money, I'm thinking they're probably going to try and transition him back to safety.
Yeah, because that's what the Eagles really need.
We literally have nobody back there. We have Malcolm Jenkins and that's it.
Yeah, just go out there on your own. Yeah. Good luck.
Well, I mean, it was
line up in goal line formation all the time.
It was like he was playing by himself last year.
Yeah.
So he probably could do it. You know, we could play like a nickel package with three cornerbacks and one safety or something. You know?
Goal line.
Goal line. Just go goal line every single play. What is this, Madden, Rich?
Yeah. Shh.
Just set the difficulty to rookie and just play goal line and blitz the outside linebackers?
Chip Kelly uses cheat code.
Does he use the Ask Madden function?
Oh, no.
Madden always gave the worst plays. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Yeah, thanks, Madden. That really helps out.
See, Madden gave, like, realistic plays. It'd be, like, third down and something, and he'd be like, oh, run it up the gut. And I'm like, no, I'm going to call a bootleg, you know, flea flicker, some crazy reverse thing.
This is a bootleg. He wants to bootleg on the first down play. He bootlegged on the third down play. He bootlegged to the right. Then he comes right back with another bootleg. See, both backs go to the right. You see Hasselbeck bootlegs out here to his left.
He never suggested that many bootlegs in the Madden games.
By the way, I love that clip.
It's not edited, is it?
And I would just like to mention that, you know, he says bootlegs 12 times in that clip. I just like it. You gotta love Madden. Just
it's so
that.
Great, but that's not edited, is it?
No,
like that's exactly what he says. That's the most amazing part of it.
This is a bootleg. He wants to bootleg on the first down play. He bootlegged on the third down play. He bootlegged to the right. Then he comes right back with another bootleg. See, both backs go to the right. You see Hasselbeck bootlegs out here to his left.
That's a 13-second clip, and he says bootlegs 12 times.
That's amazing.
The majesty of John Madden.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
Well, that's what we're hoping that this Eric Rowe can do, because, you know, looking at his draft profile, he was one of the top performers in nearly every category at the combine. So 40 time, bench press, the three cone drill, all those crazy routines they have them do. He was one of the top performers. I think I read somewhere on Reddit that he was in the 96th or 97th percentile for athleticism in D-backs.
Wow.
So we have a very athletic, very versatile defensive back that has experience at both defensive back positions. He's young. He's got good size. I'm thinking this pick is a win as well.
Yeah. So between the first two picks, I'm happy. I'm happy with what the Eagles did.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, after the third round, everything's pretty much a crapshoot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to decide how players are going to pan out after the first and second round.
And besides, it's not a graduation ceremony. You can go and see the full list of what the Eagles did in the NFL draft. All you gotta do is go to some sports website.
Basically any sports website.
Anyway. Or Google it.
Or Google.
And you'll get the full list.
If you can't find who they drafted, you are not interneting right.
Interneting?
Yeah.
Is that a verb now?
It's a verb now. You're not interneting right. Let's make it happen.
There you go. Interneting right if you want to.
I will say, let's give grades to the draft. So the Eagles ended up drafting three cornerbacks in six picks. That's the only downside I see to this draft. Maybe too many cornerbacks. Also,
too many cornerbacks. Too many cornerbacks. Too many cornerbacks. Too many syllables.
Way too many syllables.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Too many syllables.
Too many syllables.
We're doing the too many cooks thing.
Yeah.
If nobody could figure that out.
Yeah.
But also the Eagles didn't fill some key needs. They didn't draft a safety. I think Eric Rowe is going to fill that position, but they didn't draft a specific safety. They didn't get any depth at offensive line, but I think we'll be okay there. Overall, although I feel like the Eagles should get a solid B for this draft.
Yeah, I would say a B+.
B+. Yeah. Those first two picks really impressed me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't flashy enough for an A.
No,
but the Eagles did what they had to improve the roster, and that's what you do in a draft.
Yeah, I mean, they filled needs. They didn't sell the future of the team, which everybody thought Chip Kelly was good. I think most people reporting about the draft were upset that he didn't make a crazy trade.
I'll tell you what. This draft was actually one of the most boring drafts.
Yeah, nothing happened.
No trades really happened.
That's why I think it was all for show. I don't think there were any real deals out there.
The only real deal I can think of was when the Giants traded three picks so that they could draft a safety of their own.
Yeah. And I mean, the Eagles moved up in the second round to take Eric Rowe, but I mean,
they didn't give up a whole lot for
it. Yeah, exactly. So I think all those trade rumors were all for show. I think Chip Kelly is a mastermind at propaganda. I think he has fun with the media is what he does.
He's a troll.
Yeah, he is. He really is. But I also like the fact that they didn't reach in the first and second round. They got players that they knew could fit into the system, that they knew could contribute on day one, not like a certain first-round pick from last year, Marcus Smith, who only played like five plays. I still hate that pick. I hope he's gone next year. But anyway, my hatred for him aside, I think the Eagles did a solid job. So I'm looking forward to next season, although I'm looking forward to every season. So
yeah,
that doesn't really mean anything coming from me.
Well, there you go, our NFL draft wrap-up there. Looking forward to the Eagles when they eventually start practicing and then preseason and then, soon it'll be time for the football season.
It's almost here, Rich. Can you feel it?
Yeah. But you know what? Before that happens, we'll have lovely things to talk about like baseball and golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. So excited. So excited.
All right, well, let's cool Mike off with all that excitement he has over there.
I can barely handle it, Rich.
Yeah, we'll cool you off
from
all that excitement. We'll take a little bit of a break, but don't go anywhere because coming up next, we'll have the entertainment entree. Got some interesting topics there with Batman which I'm excited to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news, so don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. Don't you even think about exiting out of your screen or the podcast. All right, stay with it. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A woman who took donated clothes from a relative found $30,000 inside one of the hand-me-downs.
Wow. I never find that type of stuff in my pockets.
In the bag was cash that had been stuffed into envelopes and wrapped in layers of plastic bags. Carol told PhillyBurbs.com, I unwrapped the bag and there was another bag in another bag in another bag. And that's where she found $30,000.
Wow.
That's like a bag within a bag?
Yeah.
Within another bag?
You know what that means. Bagception.
Bagception.
I just want to point out, that is incredible security.
Yes.
The more bags you have, the more bag, secure it is.
Yeah, this is at least three layers of bags we're talking about.
I don't know how.
We're going three bags deep into this operation. And then on top of that, if you lose it, then you're in limb bag.
Oh, man. So, a bag within a bag.
Three bags deep, man. We're serious.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Just chilling, you know.
Yeah.
You know how we do.
Just grooving.
Yeah.
To the late night grooves.
We go with the flow. We move at our own pace here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah. Sometimes it's breakneck. Sometimes we slow it down.
Yeah. You know what? I felt like the first part of the show went by, like, pretty fast between the nerd talk and then the sports and then draft. I don't know. I felt like it went by really fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all... They're all subjects we are very passionate about.
Yeah.
So
I felt like we needed to slow it down with some chillaxing music, if you will.
Is this the Portlandia theme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool.
I think I mentioned that every single time you play this.
I mean, it's
a great show, and this theme is just very, like, mellow and easygoing.
Yeah. I think it's a good reset button, if you will.
Yeah.
So the reason why I do a reset button right now is because we switch topics. We're coming out of the sports sampler, and instead, we move to our second round of topics that we call the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun. Oh my gosh. Look at her butt. Oh my gosh. Look at her butt. Look at her butt. Look at her butt. This dude named Michael used to ride motorcycles. Dick bigger than a tower. I ain't talking about Eiffels. Real country-ass guy let me play with his rifle. Put his ass to sleep. Now he calling me NyQuil. Now that bang, bang, bang.
So there you go.
That's awesome.
Welcome to the Entertainment Entree, a dramatic reading of Nicki Minaj's Anaconda.
Nice.
And I didn't know it had your name in it.
Yeah, well, it's a, yeah.
Is this what you do on the weekends?
Yeah, yeah.
Just so nonchalant. Yeah. Yeah. Right, what do you want me? What do you want me to say?
Well, my Secretsmith found out. They wrote a song about it. So yeah. Or I was featured in a song. The song isn't about it, but after balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also that. Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. After balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging.
So there you go. Random way to start off the entertainment entree. Mike's personal exploit.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that, Rich.
In dramatic reading form.
In dramatic reading form.
Of Nicki Minaj's Anaconda.
At least it was a complimentary entry.
Yes.
All right. Let's keep it PG. Let's keep it PG.
Yeah. All right. And let's move on to our first topic here in the entertainment entree. We like to start off with Mike's review of things that you need to keep an eye on in the world of movies and video games. We call it This Week in Entertainment.
Yeah, after balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging. It's true. It's
so
true.
There you go, Mike.
Yeah.
Kick off your segment. It's right. This Week in Entertainment.
Well, after balling and clubbing and hugging, you might want to sit down and relax with a nice documentary movie, Rich.
Woo, yeah.
So exciting. But no, this one caught my eye because it's such a unique topic. The documentary is I Am Big Bird, the Carol Spinney story. It's about Carol Spinney, who has been Sesame Street's Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch since 1969. He's 78 years old, and he has no intention of stopping. And this documentary follows, I guess, his life and his role on Sesame Street. It's told in a non-linear fashion, so it's got an interesting format to it. But I just think it's such an interesting, unique concept. You never think about the people behind the puppets, you know? So, I don't know. Well, you don't think that's interesting?
No, it is interesting.
I think it's interesting.
I think it's perfect material after you bag Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, she's already seen one Big Bird, so...
Yes. Yes, yeah.
All right, so there you go. Great.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. It's true. Call me Nicki. Yeah, after balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging. Oh, if only. So, next up in This Week in Entertainment, we go to the world of video games. It's a new month, so that means new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. This month is crazy for PlayStation Plus because PlayStation 4 users get 5 indie games, one of which is Ether 1, which is a really interesting first-person puzzle adventure game. It's an indie game. It has 2 single-player campaigns, one that's focused entirely on exploring the environment and getting to know your surroundings and being immersed in the story and the world. It has no puzzles, strictly exploration. The other single-player campaign has really complex puzzles and adventure gameplay, trying to solve, you know, brain teasers and, I guess, environmental puzzles. But the subject of the game is what's really fascinating. Ether 1 follows an employee of a futuristic memory retrieval company called the Ether Institute of Telepathic Medicine. The player must investigate the thoughts of Jean Thompson, a 69-year-old woman diagnosed with dementia, and retrieve her lost memories. The Institute is able to generate 3D simulations of damaged memories, and the player must reconstruct the memories using the remaining artifacts of memory. They use memory a lot in that synopsis, but it sounds really interesting and really unique, so I'm really interested to try it out, especially since it's free this month. So if you have PlayStation Plus, make sure you go download that straight away, like I am as I am reading this.
Spoiler alert, the 69-year-old woman is Nicki Minaj 35 years from now.
She got dementia because she just couldn't handle me. God, that was awful. Yeah, after balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging. Yeah.
Okay.
It was literally so intense that she forgot everything else.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Just remember that. Hit me up, ladies. Let's get out of this segment, please.
There you go. That's what we have for This Week in Entertainment. I never had someone so polite politely but yet firmly asked to get out of a segment that quickly. Just like, I was like, firm.
Well, I didn't want to dig myself into an even deeper hole. I mean, I already did with that with Nikki, you know, it's...
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
Oh my God. Wow.
So there you go.
All right. Now that all my dirty laundry's been out there. Jeez. Let's move on to the next subject.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
It's saying something to me. I don't know what, but it's talking a lot. It's gone. The whole train is off the rails. It's in the ditch.
I love this goat right now. I'm just wondering how you're going to... You were like tying every clip I was playing into like one storyline. So,
well, you know...
The goat was too much?
Well, I didn't want the plot twist to be revealed, but Nikki was a goat.
What the hell?
I was trying to tie it into the story.
I love this goat right now. Okay, I guess you love goats.
No. Actually, what I meant to say is we had a lovely dinner at which goat was served.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was.
There you go.
Yeah, after balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging.
All right, so there you go. Mike's plans.
So, yeah. Dickle.
I forgot about the Dickle.
Thanks.
The whole time, I you know what? I spared you. The whole time, I could have played the Dickle one.
Dickle. I gave Nikki the Dickle.
I love this
Tickle.
There you go.
That's what Nikki was saying. Why am I calling her just Nikki?
Yeah.
We're on first name basis. Right. Yeah.
It must be pretty serious.
She's Nikki, I'm Mikey. It all works out.
But there you go. And she plays with your rifle. Yeah. All right. So
I take her to the firing range on weekends.
What a romantic date.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy.
I love you just as much as this gun is... ballistic going on.
What is that?
That's like redneck Valentine letters.
Is that redneck foreplay?
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, stroke the barrel, honey. Oh yeah, load the magazine, fire it off, automatic mode.
I'm gonna fire a load at your cans.
Bullseye. Pull. Blam.
This is so bad.
Oh, my God. I don't know what the hell we entered.
Oh, man. Is there something in this water? What's going on? Is this real life?
Yeah. All right. We need to move on. Let's stay focused and get to our topics that we have here in the entertainment entree.
Go ahead.
Besides.
I want to see you transition from redneck foreplay to Batman. That's a challenge.
Speaking of guns going off, Batman might have a couple of tools to go off in his new game, Batman Arkham Knight.
That was perfect. It's true. It's true. He will have lots of gadgets going off in Batman Arkham Knight coming out next month.
All right. Okay. At least it was better than that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Oh, but, you know, speaking of tools, one of the tools that will be at the player's disposal, Rich, is this season pass DLC we talked about last week.
And it was a pretty high price tag they're asking.
Yeah, yeah. They
$40?
They want $40 for the season pass. We talked last week about how that was a little high for season passes. They usually come in at $20 to $25. They usually give you some single-player story missions. And we were worried that... You know, knowing the Batman series like we do, we assumed the worst, naturally, because we thought it was going to be challenge maps and character skins. We didn't have much hope for this $40 price tag. Well, I'm here to tell you, Rich, that it may actually be justified. Would you like to hear what the developers have detailed as being in this Season Pass DLC pack?
Yeah. What could it be?
All right. Well, first off, we'll just start off with the most basic, obvious. There are going to be a ton of challenge maps. Those of you that have played the Batman Arkham series knows that in addition to the single-player game, there are special challenge maps that give you a set number of enemies that you have to defeat in creative ways with different characters and different gadgets. So you're going to get a couple of challenge maps that are each unique. You'll also
I'm Batman.
Yes, in which you can be Batman playing the challenge maps. But you can also play as the allies, Catwoman and Robin and Nightwing. And speaking of all Batman's little bat buddies, you also get a pack of character skins and Batmobile skins from different eras throughout Batman history. So I think that's really cool. You know, like a 1960s Batman. And
wait. Is like an Adam West Batman going to be on there?
I assume there's going to be the Batmobile and the Batman costume from, the 1960s era.
They would have to include this.
Oh, they would have to. Especially when you're going around one of the themed racetracks. So I mentioned last week how they were going to have Batmobile racetracks. Well, it turns out those racetracks will also be themed after specific eras throughout Batman history. So maybe a 1960s Batman driving a 1960s Batmobile racing around a racetrack that is themed after the 1960s Batman stories.
Then it has to be Adam West.
Yeah.
Adam West, a little bit softer now. Adam West. I'll come out when they're all gone.
You can play that while you're playing the game.
Oh, okay.
But finally, so all that, we all knew that was happening. Batman, the Batman Arkham series have done challenge maps and skins for a long time. That's been their main DLC for the past three games. This is what's really caught my eye, though. Three story DLCs, Rich.
Uh-huh.
That is where this money is going towards. So listen to what you're getting with these three story DLCs. The first one is a prequel story featuring Batgirl. It has entirely new locations when you play as Batgirl. And it's the very first time you get to play as her in the Arkham series, by the way. So I think that's going to be really cool. It's a prequel to the whole, whatever the story is in Arkham Knight. The next story DLC will be a new single-player Batman story. And this one is interesting because it features new supervillains, or not new, but legendary supervillains are coming back into Gotham. And they have new story arcs, missions, and even new gameplay features. So I don't know what they're planning to add to the story DLC, but it seems like they're going to be changing up the gameplay formula as well, which you rarely see with story DLCs. Usually the story DLCs keep the same gameplay and just add more of it, but it seems like they're going to change things up a little bit here.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of would be when Bioshock Infinite had the burial at sea.
That's true. Bioshock, well, that was basically, I mean, I keep saying it, that was basically an entirely different game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, which was, I think that should be the pinnacle for story DLC, by the way, was Burial at Sea. That was phenomenal. So hopefully this will achieve something similar with the varied gameplay. And the last story DLC will be a series of missions that feature Batman's allies and extend their stories before and after the main game. So it's called Gotham City Stories. You play as all his key allies in narrative-based missions. And this is, again, before and after the events of the main game. So that seems like it'd be really interesting. You're playing as Nightwing and Robin and Catwoman. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm Batman.
That's actually all he says to his allies.
I'm Batman. Yeah.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. I just imagine the cutscenes now. It's like Catwoman comes and is like, oh, Batman, we need to go stop Mr. Freeze. And Batman just says,
I'm Batman.
Yep. And everyone's like, okay.
I'm Batman.
So what do you make of all this season pass DLC? Is it worth the price tag now? Three story DLCs, a series of challenge maps, and a ton of player skins, Batmobile skins, and racetracks.
Now that I hear three story DLCs, I think that justifies it better.
Yeah.
40, I still think is a little, just a smidge too high.
40 is a little steep. The character skins and the Batmobile skins, those are like 99 cent pieces.
Yeah.
You know, that does not contribute to the price at all.
I mean, just to go back to what we just called the pinnacle of DLC,
right.
Burial at Sea, the whole season pass was $25 when I paid for it.
Yeah, I believe so. And so, you've got two story missions and an entirely new gameplay mode.
Yeah. So, I mean, 40 is still a little bit high, but I can now at least justify it.
Yeah. It seems like they're going with a lot of content here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good to see that it's not just going to be I was afraid it was going to be challenge maps and character skins. Because you've played the previous Batman Arkham games.
Yeah.
They really haven't had story DLC at all.
No, not really.
Like, maybe like 1 2-hour mission, but that's it. But it seems like they're really committed to expanding the main game in this one.
Well, they probably took a lesson from BioShock.
Yeah, BioShock and The Last of Us really were great examples of how to do single-player DLC.
Yeah.
And Borderlands was very successful at it, too. They always upped the level cap and added new story missions and characters. So, yeah, it's a good thing Batman is taking keys from these other great games in the industry.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, so hopefully a lot of people will be saying, I'm Batman, come June when the game comes out. And I don't know, I've got to be honest, I might think about getting the season pass once we figure out a few more details.
Yeah.
But that will have to wait until June. Right now, something...
I'm Batman.
Yes. Right now, I'm Batman.
Yes.
But in addition to that...
Banging Nicki Minaj.
Well, yeah.
I'm Batman.
My weekends just keep getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah, man, you're up to some weird stuff over there.
Took Nikki to the firing range, then out to a nice goat dinner, then we just humped like rabbits, and I told her I was Batman.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
And you took a Hot Pocket.
Yep.
All right, so there you go. Yeah. Mike's weekend.
Yeah.
All right, what's our
That's
next?
What I don't tell you I do in the what have we done this past week. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So, next subject. I don't know how to transition this, so I'm just going to say Hulu is a streaming service online that has never really lived up to the same hype as Netflix. On this show, everyone knows that we love Netflix. It's like all we talk about.
Yeah.
But we might have to change our tune, Rich, because Hulu landed a crazy exclusive deal. I mean, I just thinking about this is just absurd. To stream the entire Seinfeld library plus future AMC shows, starting with Fear the Walking Dead. This deal is rumored to be at around the $180 million mark, with Hulu paying a reported $700,000 to $1 million per episode for the Seinfeld series.
That's crazy.
That is absurd.
Already syndicated show that everybody has watched an episode of, like, five times already.
Yeah, this show is, what is it? It's got to be 20 years old.
Yeah.
And it's been syndicated for, it's on every station, basically.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can get the entire series for, like, $40 on Amazon. I don't know what Hulu was thinking. They are literally insane. I mean, literally.
Well, Seinfeld is
laughing his way straight to the bank right now. He's running as fast as possible.
Oh, yeah. Seinfeld will take the money.
Yeah. Well,
But you know what this is?
What?
I think this is Hulu's last ditch attempt. If this and AMC doesn't.
AMC is the big one.
Yeah. If this and grabbing AMC shows doesn't work for Hulu, nothing's going to work. There's no way they're going to get people if they can't land Seinfeld fans. And AMC fans like Mad Men and first they're going to start off with the new shows.
Yeah, but then Fear the Walking Dead will be a huge pickup for them.
But when the contracts with Netflix run out, they'll try and grab those.
Yeah, and that's the thing that actually I'm a little worried about because I'm a big Netflix supporter. So when those contracts do run out, like you just mentioned, some are fearing that the AMC shows on Netflix and Amazon Prime will disappear and move over to Hulu. So I don't want to pay for Hulu. I'm just going to be upfront with it. I don't want to pay for Hulu.
I don't want to do two. I don't want to do Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't use Hulu.
Yeah,
I literally.
Well, that's the problem with Hulu.
Yeah,
nobody's been visiting Hulu
with on demand and DVR. I don't need Hulu. Hulu was for shows that you missed on live TV, and you know, in college, I would pull it up. Because I was away from, my home DVR and my on-demand service. So I would watch the shows on Hulu. But now you can watch your DVR'd shows and your on-demand shows on your laptop with most cable providers. So it's made Hulu basically obsolete. So I don't know. I mean, people will have to be huge fans of Seinfeld or AMC shows in order to pony up the money for Hulu every month. I will say this, though. The AMC deal also includes IFC, BBC America, Sundance, and WeTV. So it's not just AMC. They're getting a whole bunch of other channels with that. But how do you think this helps them in their fight against Netflix? Do they match up to Netflix now, or are they still lagging behind? They still don't have the original programming. mean, when you look at Netflix, they have House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, all those original documentaries and comedy stand-up routines. So how does Hulu match up against them now?
Well, I mean, like I said before, this is Hulu's last stand. If this massive $180 million deal doesn't bring in more people, then nothing's going to work. Yeah. So they're on the ropes right now. This is their last punch that they're going to take at Netflix.
But in terms of content offerings, do you think that they match up now?
I think they at least have firepower.
I mean, this gives them a little bit of pull with TV fans. AMC is huge.
Right.
Between Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, and Mad Men, and now Fear the Walking Dead, I mean, that's going to be, you know, like 20 million viewers right there.
Yep.
It's just a shame because I have such fond memories of streaming all of Breaking Bad on Netflix, you know?
So does my mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not going to... People, you better start watching Breaking Bad and Mad Men on Netflix before it goes away. That reminds me, I should watch Mad Men before it goes away.
Yes, get on that, Mike.
Yeah, because I'm not paying Hulu to watch it, because with Hulu, you still have ads. How do you still have ads with a paid service?
Yeah, that's a little
wonky. That's the part that gets me. That's the part that gets me. And when I watched it back in college, it was 15-second to 30-second ads. Now it's up to like a full 2 minutes. What's the difference between Hulu and TV? Other than poor streaming quality.
No.
I mean, let's be honest here. You know, they're not Netflix.
Well, let's see. We'll see if this is the last ditch attempt by Hulu and whether or not it works, or if Netflix still comes out as the victor.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to spew so much vitriol towards Hulu there. it came out very heated, didn't I?
It's like me and Taylor Swift. You just didn't realize it.
I feel betrayed by Hulu. They used to be cool. What happened, Hulu? You used to be cool.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Hulu's still cool. You know that Simpsons quote? No?
No, wait, what? Well,
it was a Simpsons quote where they go into the future and Bart is talking to a Chinese diplomat. And because Lisa's president, so he's hanging out at the White House. He goes, "What happened to you, China? You used to be cool." The Chinese diplomat goes, "Hey, China's still cool."
Well, that's what Hulu's doing.
Yeah.
Hulu's still cool.
Hulu is China.
So there you go there. And we've got one last topic for the entertainment entree. Also has to deal with Avengers. Avengers earlier in the show.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. So Robert Downey Jr., who of course is Mr. Iron Man himself, Tony Stark in the Avengers movies, he recently did an interview with Entertainment Weekly, and they asked him the question if he would like to do more indie movies after doing a really big budget film. They said, "Do you want to do a small, really low budget indie film?" And his response might surprise you. But I actually have the audio here, Rich. So why don't we let Robert Downey Jr. do his own talking?
All right.
Hear what he has to say.
What does he say?
So this is an interview with Entertainment Weekly. Let's play the clip.
Do you ever have a craving after you finish wrapping one of these just to make like a like $500,000 budget indie movie?
No.
Why?
Because they're exhausting and sometimes they suck. And then you just go, what was I thinking? But I'm interested in doing all different kinds of movies. Sometimes the little movies are the ones that wind up taking the most out of you. Because they're like, hey, man, we're just running a couple days behind. Do you think you can stay through your birthday and then come back on the 4th of July? And by the way, could you, like the crew, could you pay for the crap service for today? And oh, by the way, man, when we go to Sundance, it's like, can we just sit you in a chair and you can sell this for 6 days in a row so that we'll make $180 when it opens in one theater? God, this is so powerful what we're doing. What do you think of the movie? You saw it last night. I think it's mediocre. Yeah, isn't it the greatest? Man, this everyone's an artist here. Actually, most of you are kind of inexperienced and lame.
So, what do you make of that? He does not seem to enjoy indie films.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I actually think he has a point with the production of making an independent film.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's it's a dual, you know, it's a double-edged sword. That's kind of like the working man's, like, glory, but also problems with making an independent film. A lot of times it goes past schedule. A lot of times it goes over budget. And you need a crew that is willing to adapt to the situations that are necessary when completing an indie film. It's not as clean cut as a blockbuster movie's gonna be. And to that regard, he is kind of right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, for those that think that he's being a little too highbrow, looking his nose down at independent movies, I could also see that argument as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some people are kind of ticked off at how he's approaching this whole indie genre, and it is sort of a genre at this point. You know, the quirky indie movie. But, you know, I got to say he's sort of right. I mean, a lot of indie movies, some of them are really great. Some of them are very artistic and very unique and creative. At the same time, a lot of them are just really drab and boring. I mean, you know, I have to applaud the filmmakers for, you know, stepping outside the box and trying new things and, you know, going against the grain, you know, against these big Hollywood blockbuster tentpole films. But at the same time, I've watched some indie films that are just like, just shut up, you know? That sounds horrible to say, but...
I know a lot of people are kind of conflicted on it, but Boyhood is one of them.
Yeah, Boyhood was... I mean, I watched it, and I always say it was an experience. It was really unique. It was really interesting to watch. Very captivating.
You know who complains about that movie?
Who?
Our friends over at Red Letter Media.
Well, hold on, because I'm going to complain about it too. Because as an experience, it's pretty good. As a movie, it's really... The story is just not there. There's no story. Mm-hmm. It's just not... It's not a story as you would have a normal concept of a story. But what does Red Letter Media say?
Red Letter Media kind of says something like you say. If you look at it as a movie, It's not a good movie.
It's a very unique experience.
But a lot of people will justify it by saying, it took 10 years to make!
Well, we sort of did the same thing, too, at one point.
Well, that's how it got the Oscar buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
It did. Let's admit it.
And it is a very notable thing to make a movie over 10 years, sticking with the same cast, and that's got to be tough. But at the same time, you know, I just watched Whiplash, 10 times better. I watched the Grand Budapest Hotel, 10 times better. The Imitation Game, 10 times better. Did these all movies all come out the same year?
Yeah.
Okay,
these
are
all
these movies were 10 times better than Boyhood, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Boyhood was like the pinnacle of like the indie verse, you know? And it just wasn't as good as some of the more traditional films. I hate to say it, but they were much better movies.
Yeah. And it didn't win either. Didn't win the Oscar.
No, it didn't win anything. And I guess, you know, people will be upset and they'll say, oh, they're just against indie films. It's not that we're against indie films. It's not that Hollywood is against indie films. Obviously, there's still a big market for it because they still generate hype. There's still tons of them made. When I do This Week in Entertainment, I always bring up strange indie films sometimes or documentaries. You know, like I just brought up this Big Bird documentary this week instead of some of the dopey comedies that are coming out. But the fact of the matter is that it's really hard for indies to rise to the top just because of the nature of the game. And like Robert Downey Jr. said, that you are working with a lot of inexperienced filmmakers. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah. So. But I don't think that discredits all indie films either.
No, I think there's some great, like Juno was a fantastic indie film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I picked that one out off the top of my head, but I'm having a hard time of thinking of all
the
ones.
Off the top of my head, I love Clerks.
Clerks, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, now Kevin Smith is famous, but when he first did that one, that was shot on a $60,000 budget.
Yeah. Little Miss Sunshine was another really great quirky indie film. Was Moonrise Kingdom an indie?
I'm not sure. I'm not. I think by then he was established.
Yeah, I think so too. So
Wes
that's
Anderson was established.
Yeah. That was a little more mainstream. But there's great indie films out there. Is the point that we're making? But like regular Hollywood, it's like the top 20%, and the rest is just kind of blah. I mean, that's true with any form of entertainment, though. It's not indies in particular. It's just everything. Music, video games, TV.
Yeah, you got to search to find the good ones.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that search is harder because of the nature of the indie movie market.
Yep. So there you go. An interesting take on indie films from Robert Downey Jr., Or I like to say, Tony Stark as Robert Downey Jr.
He was very Tony Starkish in that, that quote.
It's almost like you can't separate the two at this point.
I think he has become Tony Stark.
Why not?
I think he secretly is Iron Man. I really do, honestly. Like, he seems like I can't separate Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. now.
He probably drives the Audi and has the Jarvis in his home. Why not?
You know, I read a funny comment on one of the articles talking about his quote. They're saying that in like 15 or 20 years, he's going to be doing Iron Man or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
Well, we'll hope that that crash doesn't happen to Robert Downey Jr.'s career. But as for us, that will conclude the entertainment entree. We'll go take a little bit of a break, and then we will hit you with a crash of our own with the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll have some crazy stories there.
Oh, man. I always look forward to it.
And we got a Florida segment.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's how you know. A whole segment? Yeah,
You
know you're in for a ride, because I have a full Florida segment for you in the odd news. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A Wyoming high school student who was able to build a nuclear reactor was...
Wait, what? Is that literally the first line of the story?
Yep. A Wyoming high school senior who built a nuclear reactor was disqualified from the International Science and Engineering Fair this month on a technicality. It seems that the senior had competed in too many science fairs.
What? How's that fair? It's like, oh, he's so smart. He's competed in so many. He literally built a nuclear reactor, something that rocket scientists have a hard time with, and he gets disqualified?
Yeah, sadly. He still is planning to graduate from high school this month and wants to go to the South Dakota School of Mines. I don't know if it's actually Mines.
Yeah, wait, the School of Mines.
Yeah, okay. M-I-N-E-S. I don't know if that's like a place or if it actually means landmines or something.
Landmines?
Welcome to campus. Good luck.
If you can make it to class, you've already passed.
Jeez.
What is that? That's the incoming freshman class.
There you go. The South Dakota School of Mines.
That's not even what the story was about.
No, but sometimes it's little things.
Yeah. Anyway.
Like a landmine.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We've gone through sports and entertainment. What a show so far, Mike.
What an amazing show.
We've unleashed inner secrets.
Yeah.
Like, I hate Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And you're banging Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. That affair was supposed to stay on the down low, but you know.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's what we're about here. Having fun, goofiness, and shenanigans.
Right. Having a blast here and jamming out to this music. What is this? This is catchy.
Tini Tempe.
Don't know what that is.
Written in the Star. He's a rapper. He's a rapper, Mike.
Okay.
But I got something, you know, pumped up to start this segment off.
Yeah.
Because before we head into the non-fortune cookie odd news, I'm actually going to throw you a curveball here, Mike.
Okay.
I am going to debut a brand new segment.
Oh, God.
It's going to be quick and painless.
Are you sure about that?
Actually, probably not for me.
Okay.
But nevertheless, we're going to do a brand new segment. It's called What Is Pissing Me Off? The thing that pisses me off.
And it's Alabama left and Alabama right. Come on, you fucking let me get your right step right. Get off stage, goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off, fucking jerk. Get on my nerves.
Yeah, so I'm debuting this new segment. It's you know, something that's been bugging me over the past week since we've last been on the show.
Okay, what's been bugging you, Rich?
So I'm sure most of you people have Facebook and the Twitters and the social media and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you might have seen there's a popular news story going around, and it's, you know, the attention-grabbing headline is there might be something disgusting in your beard. Or okay. in your boyfriend's beard or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And allegedly it says that there is traces of poo in beards.
No. Ew. All
right. And
you got to stop wiping yourself with your beard.
literally yeah. Put your head up your own ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I never understand why people do that.
Yeah. But I take offense to this. All right.
Yeah. Well, you have a beard.
Yes, I have a beard. I had one ever since college.
Yeah.
I grew it out and just ran with it. And, you know, I looked at that and I was, you know, disgusted.
Yeah.
But then I was more disgusted and really pissed off because they cite a study.
Okay.
And in the study, are you ready for this? They conveniently put this in the small print in the study.
Okay.
You know, this is what happens when the journalists that retweet and reblog it and reshare it, they don't read the actual study. They just read the frickin' news story.
Yeah.
And not the actual study.
Right.
In the study, it says in small print, we encourage the men with the beards in this study to not wash their hands after going to the bathroom.
Well, there you go.
All right, so the problem is not the fact that I have a beard.
That is gross.
The problem is these people aren't washing their hands in the bathroom after they go number two.
That is gross.
All right, you want to point the blame at people, you point it at the fact that they're not washing their goddamn hands. Not the fact that I have a beard. Because you don't know how many times I had, like, people share it. Oh, Rich, you got a beard. You might want to shave it up.
You got a poop beard.
Yeah, you got a poop beard. Shut up! Read the fine print. It is because they were encouraged not to wash their hands. The problem is not washing your hands. That was supposed to be the message, not the fact that you have a beard. Ah.
I wish this was a video podcast sometimes because Rich is over here thrusting his finger in the air at my face.
I'm sorry.
His face is turning a shade of red I've never seen before.
I'm sorry. It's the only way I had to get pissed off for the segment because it's called What's Pissing Me Off.
Well, right next to Taylor Swift and Mark Wahlberg. I mean, poop beards.
Yeah.
That's right up there.
The poop beard study pissed me off. All right.
Yeah. But no, that is very irresponsible journalism too.
It is.
To just take the headline, I have to admit, you know, when I'm browsing through Reddit, I'll see a headline, I'll be like, oh, that's cool. You know, and I'll be like, oh, did you hear about this? And, you know, I'm one of the people that don't read the actual whole study.
Damn it, Mike!
but I'm not reporting on it as fact.
Okay.
That's the key difference. When people report it as fact and share it, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and they propagate these myths, that's what creates the issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, in conclusion, The moral of the news article was actually supposed to be, all men, wash your hands.
Yes. Do they really need researchers to tell people that?
I don't know.
Like, you just took a dump. It's like, no, I don't need to wipe. I don't need to wash my hands. Like, I mean, really? It's gross. It's like, who does that? I don't know. Maybe I'm the weird one. I don't know. I always wash my hands. That is like one of my big like OCD things. I always got to wash my hands.
Yeah.
So it's like I can't understand. First off, the study, people, they were encouraged to not wash their hands. That would have literally killed me on the inside. And secondly, like I didn't realize researchers needed to tell people that. Like I thought, like
it was probably a bunch of researchers that just wanted a stupid headline and wanted to go viral and. There you go.
Yeah.
So here I am presenting the facts. The problem is not the fact they had beards. The problem was the fact they didn't wash their hands going to the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. So. And very irresponsible journalism.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was fed up with it.
Yeah.
So fed up, I had to create a brand new segment.
Wow. I love it. I love seeing you get angry because it's like you're usually a very calm, like joking, laughing person. Only Taylor Swift, Mark Wahlberg,
and the
poop study.
Yeah.
The poop study. I love that study is ridiculous. A bunch of researchers are like, eat dog feces, and then we'll report that 75% of men have feces in their mouths. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, oh my God, of course you're going to come up with that result. You know?
So, crazy. There you go. That's the first installment of what so is pissing me off.
Is this going to be a weekly thing then, Rich?
I don't know. Just if something's
pissed. If something pisses one of us off, we can do a pissed off segment.
Right.
All right. Awesome.
The thing that pisses me off. Yeah. We'll just go into what pisses me off. I think it's a worthy addition to the Crispy Noodle podcast.
Yeah. You know, a lighthearted comedy entertainment podcast. And
you know what? It's appropriate because sometimes during the course of a meal, you have to go to the bathroom. So,
wow.
So this is what is pissing me off. I need to go to the bathroom.
We're really sticking with that theme, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
And sometimes in the course of a meal, your illicit affairs with Nicki Minaj come up.
Yeah.
So,
it happens.
It all happens. You know, you sit down to family dinner. It's like, have you been banging any rappers? And I'm like, yeah.
Nicki Minaj.
Have you been wiping yourself with your beard? Yeah, of course. According to the study, I have.
So
this I don't know. This is how our meals go. I don't know about other people.
There you go. Brand new segment. What is pissing me off? And there you go. That stupid poop beard study pissed me off this week. Folks, it is not true. All because you have a beard doesn't mean you're dirty. If you don't wash your hands, you will be dirty.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you have a beard or not. If you don't wash your hands, odds are you're dirty.
Yeah.
So lesson is, go wash your hands. Just do it right now. Whatever you're doing, just go wash your hands. Stop touching
yourself. You know what? All right, I wasn't going to go that far, but I was going to say you're probably right. As you know, take a minute right now and go wash your hands.
Yeah.
There you go. Cleanliness is next to godliness.
That's right. Which is right next to the crispy noodle.
Yeah, next to the crispy noodle. So there
cleanliness,
you go.
Godliness, crispy noodle podcast.
All right, so there you go. Great. Yeah.
But, you know, it's also appropriate that you bring up this pissed off segment right before our next segment, because this next segment sometimes gets us a little frustrated with the idiocy we see spreaded around in it.
Yeah, it does. And
much like the fecal matter, idiocy spreads in this segment.
Yes. Let's launch into it. It is time for the non-fortune cookie-eyed news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah, and if there's one thing you've learned in our odd news, if you say you're from Tennessee, you'll be safe.
Yep, that's right. Always say you're from Tennessee, no matter where you are. For those of you that don't know, here in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds these stories and keeps them hidden and secret, stashed away from me, so I've never seen them before. All my reactions are my legitimate gut reactions. I have no idea what's about to happen. You guys have no idea what's about to happen. And Rich here doesn't even know what's about to happen, because sometimes these stories take us down wild and wacky paths. This is one of the most outrageous segments we have here on the show.
Yep.
So it's one of my favorites. I'm ready to get into it. So what do you got for us, Rich?
Ready for our first story?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's launch into it. Let's set the tone. A Jamaican man arriving at John F. Kennedy International Airport was found to have a pound of cocaine clenched in his butt cheeks.
I do cocaine!
A
recent study found cocaine in beer.
Cocaine users have tons of fecal matter in their mouths. Actually, that would probably be an accurate study, because a lot of people hide that up their butts.
I do cocaine!
That's what skewed the study.
They
studied cocaine users with beards. Yeah. See, I figured it out.
There you go.
I'm a scientist.
Science!
Science, yes.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection said that officers at the airport searched Romero Lewis, a Jamaican citizen who flew to New York from Kingston, Jamaica, and discovered that, quote, he was firmly hiding two packages of cocaine in the crack area of his buttocks.
Is that what the police report
yes.
said? In the crack area of his buttocks.
Yes.
Why don't they just say butt crack?
No, we have to be formal about this.
The body crevice known as the crack of butt.
The crack of the buttocks.
Is that so weird?
Investigators said the package totaled 1 pound, which is approximately $19,000 worth of cocaine on the streets.
Wow. I feel like that's a lot to clench in your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've never attempted that before, so I would have to, you know, take the expert's word for it. This Jamaican, whatever his name was, Bob something.
Romero Lewis. Romero,
whatever, Bob Romero, same thing.
Romero Lewis was arrested on federal narcotics smuggling charges.
It's got to be uncomfortable to sit down, don't you think?
Yeah. Holding that much cocaine?
Yeah, I mean...
With your butt?
So it was clenched in his butt cheek, so was it up his butt, or was it just...
Well, no.
Like, held there?
Because, first off, it's a pound of cocaine. I don't think that made it into his butt. So I think like, clenched.
So he's walking around with his butt cheeks clenched around this thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, why is that guy walking funny?
Why is he walking like a turtle?
Yeah.
I do cocaine! So.
Oh.
You go.
That is great.
Good way to start off the odd news. Nothing
something like... clenched in the butt cheeks.
or what the hell was it? In the crack area of your buttocks. Yeah. So formal, these cops.
Yeah.
The crack area of the buttocks. No, yes.
The fleshy crevasse.
Like, yeah, going all out.
Like, yeah, what other terms could they use? The crack area of the buttocks. Like, really? Yeah. What's up with the formal language here?
Yep. All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. Well, in our next story, it's actually a little bit of a repeat story. We actually had a story like this before, if you remember.
Okay.
These boxes of bananas were loaded with more than just potassium.
Oh, no.
German police said that workers at 13 Berlin-area Aldi stores made a unique discovery with their bananas. 850 pounds of cocaine was hidden with the bananas. Can you believe that?
It's bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This cocaine is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Come on, sing, Rich. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
The Germans have cocaine with the bananas. Yeah.
C-O-C-A-I-N-E.
Yeah, there you go.
This banana is cocaine. C-O-A-C-I-C-A-I. I can't spell. I did it right the first time. So, lots of cocaine in the bananas.
Yep. Berlin police announced that a total of 850 pounds of cocaine...
That's a lot of
...was
cocaine.
Found stashed in multiple boxes of bananas that were delivered to 13 Aldi stores in the Berlin area. This is worth an estimated $16.7 million
wow.
worth of cocaine.
That is crazy. We got in the wrong business.
Yeah, we should have done cocaine.
We should have done cocaine, yeah. I'm just going to put that out for everybody.
I don't know. We are either going to be the banana smugglers or the butt cheek smugglers.
Let's go with the banana smugglers first.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
I don't want to have to resort to the butt cheek smuggling thing just yet.
Yeah. Police said store employees unpacking the produce found the cocaine wrapped in black foil packages among the bananas.
These are weird looking bananas.
They're really square.
It's almost like they're drugs.
Now, if you remember, last year we had a similar story.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so, this is an old classic, man.
It's a classic, a Crispy really Noodle classic.
Well, no, if I remember correctly, that's when we told children to go home after school and have their cocaine bananas or something like that. Yeah.
Right. So the police in this scenario used that previous case as a guide on how to solve this mystery.
And they used our podcast to find out about it.
Maybe they did.
Yeah.
We were...
The Germans were like, yes, gut. We has the Crispy Noodle podcast.
And we have the random Gwen Stefani singing.
Bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Love that song.
Yeah.
It's such a great song.
Also,
it's so catchy.
If you get bored, watch the video. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Is the video good?
It's just weird.
It's just weird? Okay.
Like, at the banana part, there's like a university band playing, and they got bananas on them.
As
the mascot.
That sounds perfectly logical to me.
But why a university?
It's Banana State University.
BSU.
BSU.
Banana State University.
Yeah. You're telling me if you had the chance to go to Banana...
We love BSU. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. We love you, BSU. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Go, Bananas. And like the football games, the banana just charges out on the field. We're going to peel the opponents. Yeah. Peel them. I don't know. I think that's awesome. Let's start a college.
We could start our own college.
Yeah, let's start a college.
Banana State University.
What does it take to get accredited? Somebody tweet the Crispy Noodle.
You have to make a banana split.
That's what we have to do. Oh, that's what the students have to do?
Yeah, that's the requirement.
So they major, what are the majors? Banana splitting, whipped cream application. They can get, I don't know, what else can they get? Bananaology. They can get a BS in bananaology.
BA in bananas.
BA in bananas. That's just a BA in nanas.
Yeah, BA in nanas.
Oh my God. I really want to make this happen.
There you go.
BSU.
Banana State University. Happening soon.
Coming to a state near you. Banana State University.
It's happening. Keep an eye out.
Oh.
Anyway, so the purpose was...
I don't care. It's Banana State University now.
The German cops used the previous story from last year of... cocaine being smuggled with bananas, and were able to find the local traffic syndicate that was trying to smuggle the cocaine using the banana shipments. One of the local traffic syndicates said that, quote, "I guess we made a logistical error in shipping the cocaine," because the cocaine was from Colombia and was supposed to be delivered to members of their criminal organization, not the Aldi stores.
I was going to say, shipping to 13 different Aldis, that's kind of... You know, you're spreading your product around. How are you going to pick it up after that, you know?
Yeah. So, there you go. It was a logistical error.
Yeah, they made an oopsie.
Yeah. This guy would have failed at Banana State University.
Yeah, sorry. He just, you know, he had like a 1.1 GPA. He didn't get into his banana smuggling major.
Yeah, we forgot about that. You can also major in cocaine smuggling, apparently. Banana State University. Why not?
Well, we offer a lot of majors for the modern, you know, the modern student.
Yeah, why not?
And that's that is the school song.
Yeah, it's going to be Gwen Stefani's Hollaback Girl.
Look, I'm just saying, if a college had that for a school song, I would definitely go there.
There you go.
That is a fun song.
We
got
to call Gwen Stefani. Gwen Stefani has to
be... She can be the first president.
Yes.
Or the dean of students.
She's the dean of students. There we go.
Yeah, we would be co-presidents because we created it.
Yes.
And she would be the dean.
That'd
be awesome. Could you imagine going to talk to Gwen Stefani? Be like, having trouble with like, cocaine smuggling class?
We have an idea. And we need Gwen Stefani to be a part of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
We should start a petition.
We should. Banana State University.
Join Banana State University.
Change.org. Or a Kickstarter. Let's do a Kickstarter.
Banana State University coming soon.
Oh, man. Banana themed majors everywhere.
Yep. And cocaine smuggling.
Yeah, of course, for some reason.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
Guess what?
Oh, God.
The banana fun doesn't stop. Yeah, I got another banana story for you. Police in India said that a theft suspect is being force-fed a, quote, strict banana diet to help him pass a stolen necklace spotted in an x-ray image of his body. Investigators said that 30-year-old Anil Yadav...
Wait, his name is Anil?
Yes, Anil. A-N-I-L, Anil.
Oh, Anil, okay. I was going to say, it sounds like anal.
It's not anal.
And he shoved something up his, or he ate it. I don't know.
Investigators said 30-year-old Anil Yadav grabbed a gold Magla Sutra necklace worth nearly $1,000.
What the heck is a Magla Sutra? Is that like the sequel to the Kama Sutra?
I don't know, but it's a very important necklace worth nearly $1,000.
Wow.
From a 52-year-old woman as she was walking home in the Sion area of Mumbai, India.
That was a lot of names.
Yes. Oh, my God. After the lady screamed for help, our police patrol and members of the public gave him a chase and caught him, police officer Raul Pawar said. We searched him thoroughly in the police station but did not find the necklace. Then some people who had caught him told us that they had seen him swallowing something. Yadav was then taken to the local hospital where x-ray images showed the necklace lodged in his food pipe.
Food pipe?
Yeah,
what is a food pipe? I guess there's a mistake with the translation.
I guess that's how they say esophagus is food pipe.
Food pipe. What's the food pipe? You have the poop pipe? You have the breathing pipe?
It's a series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes.
All right.
I once heard that humans are basically a giant, weirdly shaped donut. Because think about it. Your throat goes into your stomach, goes into your intestines. It's all one long tube. So that's like the center of the donut going straight through you.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Whatever. All right. I don't know what you're saying.
Humans are like giant donuts. Okay. If you imagine that the throat, the stomach, and the intestines are all the donut hole, and that our bodies is the donut part of the donut.
Whatever. Okay.
No, come on.
Anyway,
oh,
the point is
this person has something stuck in their food pipe.
Yeah, and police said the necklace moved to the suspect's stomach when he was caught. He is now being force-fed a strict diet of bananas and liquids to help him pass the item naturally.
Is that legal?
In India, it is.
Keep That's, eating those bananas.
Yeah, you're gonna eat those bananas and you're gonna like it. Damn it. Yep. So I hope
Can
that guy
I at least
likes
have
bananas.
Some of the cocaine with the bananas.
Well,
right.
There you go.
So
randomly,
is that another class at Banana State University?
What's
necklace retrieval via forced banana defecation?
Stolen item retrieval.
Stolen item retrieval.
SIR, stolen item retrieval. I'm majoring in SIR at BANANAS.
One requirement of the college is that you have to spell out everything you say. Oh my gosh.
Or else Gwen Stefani will not be happy.
Yeah, and she'll come down and she'll say, this blank is bananas. BANANAS. That song is so catchy.
Yep. All right. And that's it for bananas.
No more banana stories?
Yep, that's enough. That's all the news that spit the print from Banana State University. So,
bye, Gwen.
Go. Yep. But... call us if you want to be the dean of students.
Yeah.
So. All right. Let's get to some more traditional odd news.
I love it when you say that.
Yep. Well, this one is a mainstay. This one is always fun,
God,
to bring up.
Now I'm worried.
A 73-year-old California man had to punch a 300-pound bear that was attacking his pet dog and said he would happily do it again to protect his pets.
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with the bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bears, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, wee-hee. That's the sound the bear makes.
Actually,
I love that clip.
It's Gary Busey.
Oh,
why am I reading
yes,
this story?
Gary Busey.
It's Gary Busey. It's in California. It's someone punched a bear. It's Gary Busey.
Yeah.
It's 73-year-old. It's Gary Busey.
It's definitely Gary Busey. So replace the person's name with Gary Busey for the rest of the story. I don't care who it actually is.
Well, Gary Busey's alias, Carl Moore of Meadow Vista, in Placer County, California, said that he heard his Chihuahua, Lacey, whimpering in fear outside his home.
It would be. It would be like the smallest dog against the largest animal.
The word fear, F-E-A-R, this stands for false evidence appearing real.
Oh, poor little dog was what was it, whining in fear?
Yeah. He came out to find the bear trying to get past a low gate on his deck. Moore said that he decided to show immediately to the bear that he was not afraid. Moore said that, quote, the man or beast that I run from ain't been born and his mama's already dead.
What? Oh my gosh, who is this person?
I don't know.
That doesn't sound like Gary Busey. That sounds like some, like, hill man, you know?
Yeah. Moore decided to run straight towards the bear with his arms raised. He said, quote, I raised both hands in the air and I cussed at him, rah, get out of here, you blank. He looked at me and I said, go F yourself.
And the bear's like, how rude.
That's the sound the bear makes.
That's probably the sound he made. Moore said that the bear retreated up a ramp leading to the deck before turning to face him. When he did that, boom, I hit him good, Moore claims. Moore said that he's no stranger to using fists. He served in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
Spent time as a boxer and worked as a bouncer. So he said, quote, my big right hand has sent a lot of people to the floor.
This guy is just like this nasty, like, gnarly old guy that's just like doesn't take anything from anyone. That is great.
Yep. The Department of Fish and Wildlife estimated that the bear weighed probably around 300 pounds.
That's a pretty big bear.
Moore said that he would repeat his actions in an instant to defend his dogs, which he calls his babies.
I love how it's like this, like, real, like, rough and tumble guy. He has this little tiny chihuahua.
And he's got chihuahuas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But there you go. Punch the bear in the face. Take that.
Punch the bear, for God's sake. I don't know why, but when you said that, it made me think of that quote.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Punch the bear, for God's sake.
Punch the keys, for God's sake. Yes. Yes. You're the man now, dog.
It works.
Yeah,
it works. You're the man now, dog.
Yeah.
I just pictured, like, this old guy just standing over the bear going, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. You're the man now, dog.
The bear's just twitching, you know.
Yeah.
And this guy slugging it, uppercut. Oh, man.
Punch the bear, for God's sake.
We'll have to dub the word bear over that clip.
If Sean Connery comes out of retirement, he's going to do a new movie. The story of Carl Moore. Punch the bear, for God's sakes.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Instead of finding Forrester, it's finding Barrister. I don't know how this movie would work.
Defending little Lacey Chihuahua.
Was that the Chihuahua's name, Lacey?
Yeah.
Saving Lacey.
Saving Lacey.
Saving Private Lacey.
There you go.
Earn it.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
I'm just all over the place with my references.
Yes. Yes. You're the man now, dog.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, this one is just bold. I can't believe somebody thought he was going to do this and get away with this. Baltimore City officials revealed that a Department of Public Works employee was fired after he was caught spending 39 hours of his 82-hour work period watching some porn.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It's a good way to spend a working day.
Inspector General Rob Pierre Jr. released a report last week revealing that an employee, a maintenance supervisor at the facilities division of the Back River Wastewater Treatment Plant, was suspended and then fired at the conclusion of his investigation. The report said that officials received an anonymous tip that the worker monitoring the division needed monitoring software installed on the man's work computer because they were able to find out that 39 of the 82 hours that he spent working in a two-week period was just spent watching a porn DVD on his computer.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yeah, he wasn't streaming this.
So wait.
This was a DVD that he like brought with him to work and then watched over and over again.
How many hours did you say?
39 hours.
39 hours?
Yeah.
How long was the DVD? So by my calculation, he watched about 2.8 hours of porn each day. You said a 2 week period, right?
Yeah.
Is this a 7 day week or a 5 day week?
5 day week.
5 day week? Hold
yeah.
on. Let me readjust my calculations.
Hold on.
I'm crunching the numbers. He watched 3.9 hours of porn a day.
On average.
On average.
But guess what?
The same video. What?
On one occasion, they know that the worker in question spent nearly 7 hours of his 8 hour workday viewing the DVD because the monitoring software reported that the DVD was being played in full screen mode for 7 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I mean, why 7 hours? Right?
Is it really that boring at the Back River wastewater treatment plant?
But it's just the one video.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times can you watch a video before you get bored of it?
He must really love this video.
Yeah, really.
Investigators.
I mean, does he know that there's like porn on the internet?
Yeah. You could do that.
Why did he bring a DVD from home? I've never understood that, buying porn DVDs.
Yeah, nowadays, yeah.
Nowadays, it's like, why even bother? Well, but anyway.
Investigators were able to determine that, quote, little to no work was being performed during the time that the pornographic material was visible on the screen. I just love the formality.
Yeah.
You know?
The pornographic material.
Pierre said that the 39 hours the man spent watching the DVD was worth about $1,166 of his salary.
Wow.
Yeah, how do you like that for crunching the numbers?
Yeah, that's... He makes a good bit of money for watching porn.
Yeah.
How can I get that job?
Go to Baltimore, I guess?
Apply for a job at Pornhub, I guess?
Well, Pierre said that the man was fired for violating a city policy using city time and equipment for non-city functions.
How do they know it's for non-city functions? He is researching for the upcoming porn festival. Right?
In Baltimore?
Sure, why not? Mm-hmm. Well, you think Baltimore doesn't like porn?
They probably do, but I don't know if there are any festivals coming up.
I don't know.
The inspector general said that officials do not know the full extent of the man's porn-watching habits at work, but, quote, apparently he was getting away with this for some time.
Wow.
Pierre said that the city has not decided whether to attempt to recover the wages paid to the man for porn-watching time. So, there you go.
I just don't understand how he spent 3.9 hours a day watching porn.
Yeah, he...
That's a lot of time to watch porn.
The same DVD, too.
Yeah, really.
Like, is it really that fascinating? Doesn't it get boring after a while?
Yeah.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
It must be, like, the greatest DVD ever.
Yeah, I don't
know. Like, it's like the Godfather of porn.
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
Maybe that was his problem. His library didn't carry any new porno.
You just go to the library reference desk, you're like, do you have any new pornos in stock?
No? Oh, well, I guess I have to go back to my DVD then.
Looking for MILFs?
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
They should have a Dewey Decimal System for porn.
You know what's sad?
What?
I bet you somewhere in like a porn collection there is probably one.
A porn collection. Why would somebody have a porn collection big enough to warrant a Dewey Decimal System?
People collect anything.
That is true.
But
to warrant a Dewey Decimal System?
There probably is. There probably is some sort of like,
I mean, you need a small library of the stuff.
There probably is something.
How would the classifications go, do you think?
Oh, God.
Where do you think porn falls in the actual Dewey Decimal System? In the arts section or in the biology section?
Well, no, it's not biology.
Is it performing arts, though?
I guess it would be arts, yeah, if I had to take a guess.
Maybe it's reference material.
That's what it really is used for. Yeah.
So that's what a gangbang is. Somebody's like taking notes. Interesting. Oh my, yes. And because it's a reference material, you can't take it from the library, so you just take it to one of those little cubicles.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Oh man, porn at the library.
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
So there you go. Things you didn't know was possible.
I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying it should be possible.
Well, I'll tell you what. More people will go to the library.
Yeah. I want to see the news report where it's like, in an unprecedented move, libraries that are now featuring porn have seen a 1,700% uptick in usage, you know? Oh man. It's for the impoverished areas of the country that can't afford broadband internet.
Doing God's work.
Doing God's work, yeah. God bless America. Yeah. That's going to be my platform. I envision a country with porn for everybody.
How noble, Mike.
How noble, I know.
Mike Costanzo,
2016, yeah. Write in my name in the next election. Let's make this happen. A porno in every home.
All right, ready to move on?
No, but sure.
Well, you're gonna want to move on.
Okay.
When I say the following words.
Uh-oh.
It's time
for
a block of Florida stories. I have a full block right here.
Oh, God.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, I got three stories from Florida. I guess Florida was feeling left out. I guess the last couple weeks they only had one.
Yeah, I've noticed they've been kind of slacking.
Well, here you go. They're rebounding with a vengeance. And
all right.
You ready for the first one?
Yeah, let's do it.
A pair of Florida siblings said that they made a bizarre discovery in their grandparents' attic. They found a box containing coins, a treasure map, and a mummified hand.
You are a pirate!
What?
Well, Mike and Maria Lopez said that the box found in their grandparents' Tampa Bay attic contained some old-looking coins, a map of the Hillsborough River, and a skeletal hand bearing a ring inscribed Gaspar.
Okay.
Mike Lopez said that the couple in the photo that's also in the box are likely his great-grandparents, Eve and Ernesto Lopez. He said his grandfather used to tell him and Maria stories about Ernesto Lopez finding treasure belonging to a pirate named Jose Gaspar.
You are a pirate!
Wow, so that's why you're playing the pirate theme.
Yep.
That's really cool. So they really found One-Eyed Willie.
It's not One-Eyed Willie. This is Jose Gaspar, who was rumored to have raided the west coast of Florida in the late 18th century. Maria Lopez says that, quote, either my great-grandfather made the best, most elaborate pirate hoax ever, or never shared it with anyone, or he really did find some treasure on the Hillsborough River. The reason why she says that is because they took all of their findings to Rodney Kite Powell, who's the curator of the Tampa Bay History Center. Rodney says that the coins are not likely to be old Spanish coins because they're, quote, a little too thin. There you go, just by the thinness, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
So, this has left the Florida siblings without any answer. They have no idea why a random box filled with coins, a treasure map, and a mummified hand
were
found in their grandparents' attic. They could be pirates, or it could be one big hoax that the grandparents left for their kids.
You are a pirate!
Either way, that is awesome. Like, if that's a hoax, that's a really good hoax.
Yeah.
And if it's real, that is crazy. That is awesome. This is one of the few occasions where the odd news story is, like, legitimately, like, awesome and not just, like, some drunken idiot stealing, like, food out of somebody's fridge and then falling asleep.
Uh-huh. Well, the siblings really have no answer. Their next step is to have the skeletal hand tested to make sure it's not an actual human hand.
Oh, God.
Quote, unquote.
Whose hand would it? Well, wait. I mean, does it not look like a human hand? Oh, they want to see if it's faked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Rodney says that it might be a monkey hand.
That would be very strange.
I don't know. I guess monkey and human hands have similar...
Well, yeah.
All right, Mr. Biologist!
We come from apes! We are apes!
But I didn't know the hands would be that
similar.
They got
five fingers!
All right, fine!
Jeez. Haven't you ever seen a chimpanzee? Look at the hands!
All right, fine.
You never seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes? What?
That never... I don't know.
What do you mean, no? The new one with James Franco?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Meh.
Rich, disappoint me.
I'd rather see pirates.
You are a pirate!
Not of the Caribbean, just regular pirates.
Yeah, just any sort of pirate movie.
Yeah. But that's really cool, though, that they found this, like, creepy severed hand, mummified severed hand.
Yeah.
I never find anything interesting like that in my basement or attic.
Thanks, relatives.
Yeah, thanks, relatives. God. Jerks.
I kind of want to do that when I die. Now,
yeah, just leave something really weird and mysterious, like a shrunken head.
Yeah.
With no explanation. Just a shrunken head, a matchbox car, and I don't know, what else random could you add in there?
Well, the treasure map is a good flair.
Yeah. Because
that makes people like, oh my gosh, we have to go see.
Yeah, it's basically the plot of The Goonies.
Yeah. Make your death like The Goonies.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody died in The Goonies. But arrange it so that when you do die, it's like The Goonies.
Right. And you send your descendants on a mystical quest.
Yes. You would have to find a cave.
Even though it's all made up.
You would have to find a cave and set booby traps or booty traps.
Yeah, that's
as
what
Data says.
That's what Data says.
He was
one of my favorite characters.
Booty traps. He was great.
Yeah, I liked all of his.
That whole movie is just perfect.
I liked his crazy inventions.
Yeah, like the glove that pops out and it hits people. The boxing glove. The little teeth that like spring up and latch onto the stalactites, which is like physically impossible.
But it's a kid's movie.
Yeah,
just run with it.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
All right, how about another Florida story?
Okay.
And now let's get to something where people are just going crazy.
Okay. Somebody's naked and drunk and stealing something, right?
Well, a South Florida man who was high on methamphetamine...
There you go.
...decided to run across the top of multiple vehicles last week, included one that he was actually able to, quote, surf down the road.
Everybody's gone surfing. Surfing USA.
Yes, he was actually to go. He was able to go surfing on the hood of one of these cars.
Nice. Did the driver not notice? Like they just see this like drugged out guy racing towards their car and leap on top of it.
Police charged 25-year-old Jonathan Restrepo with public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief, as he caused more than $1,000 damage to two different cars. Witnesses said that the native exited his girlfriend's car and climbed atop several vehicles in the middle of traffic in Florida. This is according to Joe Brogna, an eyewitness. Quote, Restrepo was screaming as if he were terrified that people were going to kill him and he needed help. But yet he kept jumping on cars, begging people to let him in, which nobody did. And then remained on top of a Nissan Altima that proceeded down the road, moving back and forth on his knees.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's just chilling. Woo!
Yeah.
Surfing.
Surfing USA.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's gone surfing. Surfing USA.
This is totally what the Beach Boys imagined, right?
Yeah, a meth addicted 20-something surfing on top of cars.
Surfing USA.
Oh, yep.
So he was doing meth in the car.
Yeah, in his girlfriend's car, yes.
Yeah.
And
so like, honey, drive me around town. I got to take some meth.
And boy, you let this...
Where will you be when the drugs kick in?
On top of a Nissan Altima. Oh, wait, it gets better.
Okay.
So as he was surfing on top of the Nissan Altima, he was also able to peek inside the window at the driver. Would that scare the crap out of you?
I would probably crash into a telephone pole. You're just driving along, and all of a sudden you look over, and there's just this upside down hat next to you. How you doing? His eyes.
Cowabunga, dude!
Surfing USA. Everybody's got
surfing. When police cars finally arrived on the scene, he jumped from the vehicle. When he went to run away from the cops, he didn't actually run away from them. He ran a few feet, screamed, and then ran back at them.
If I were the cop, I'd be scared of him at that point.
He was really confused, according to Brogna. He was just acting crazy. I've never seen anything like it. Jonathan Restrepo followed police orders to lie on the ground and told officers that he was on meth. Oh, at least he's
honest. That's nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, admitted.
I like the courteous criminals.
Yeah.
That just give themselves up.
He was then arrested and taken to a hospital for treatment. So,
oh, man.
There you go. Why not?
I love
it. If you're going to go
totally
on
totally tubular, dude.
If you're going to go on a meth binge, why not surf?
Why not surf, yeah?
On cars. On a Nissan Altima.
I want to know what that driver was thinking.
Yeah.
So he's jumping on all these cars. The driver had to, like, be aware that something was going on. So when he jumps on top of the driver's car, he's just like, business as normal. He just, you know, makes all his proper stops at stop signs.
Until you actually get a look of the guy going, hello.
Hello. You swerve into the opposite lane of traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, really, what was this driver doing? He was just going about his own business.
Yeah. And then this crazy meth guy just.
But like, if he knew the guy was on top, do you think he knew the guy was on top of his car?
Maybe he probably heard a thump, but probably didn't realize it was an actual guy on top of the car.
So you're telling me this guy's leaping from car to car and the other driver doesn't notice?
I don't know. What are you suspecting?
I don't know. I'm just thinking like the driver saw him and was like, he'll be okay. I'm just gonna keep going.
Yeah.
Because like
if I don't see it, it'll take care of itself.
Yeah, exactly. The story didn't make it seem like the driver was panicked or speeding or, you know, like worried about the guy on top of his car. It just seems like the driver was going about business as usual. Right?
It happens every Thursday in Florida.
Yeah, this is a typical Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course, only in Florida.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Woo! I just love the fact I was able to play the Beach Boys.
That was good. Yeah, Surfing USA. Yeah.
All right, and I got one more story, and it is one more Florida story.
All right.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, it is another Florida story, but this one's a weird take. It's a trend that I've noticed in Florida.
Okay.
And it's a very disgusting trend. Actually, actually has to do with going number two.
Number two?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of our odd news stories have to do with going number two.
Apparently, criminals like to go number two before they're going to get caught in Florida.
Before they're going to get caught?
Yeah.
So they know the jig is up. They run into the bathroom.
Well, we know the jig is up. They're not going to make it out of this without police custody.
But, I mean, how do they know they're about to be caught to go to
the
bathroom?
Well, they don't know, but we know they're going
to.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying they just happen to go to the bathroom and then that's when they get caught.
Well, you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
And I got four stories here for you.
Oh my gosh. The first
three though, we've covered.
Oh, we have?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
If you remember way back to one of the very few episodes in 2013, we covered the story of Gregory Bruni, who became a pooping legend of sorts when he climbed naked onto a family's home and jumped onto the homeowner. He then ran inside the house, spilled the contents of a vacuum on the floor,
yes,
ate them up, and then pooped in two spots on the floor.
Is this the guy that
touched himself in the living room and then rubbed clothes belonging to the residents on his face?
Oh. I thought this was the guy that also made a weapon out of a clock and silverware.
Yes, he also did that too. Yes. Yes.
This guy is a legend in the odd news.
Yes. So that was a Florida story.
Okay.
And he pooped on the floor in two places.
Okay.
So that's our first. That's our first poop hit.
Poop bandit.
First Florida poop bandit. Yep.
The fecal felon.
Florida fecal felons.
The triple F.
Yep.
It's not triple H, it's triple F.
Triple F.
The Florida fecal felons.
There you go. All right, our second Florida fecal felon.
Oh, my God.
We covered this one, too, this time last year. Patricia Ann Jamison, who was arrested after she just decided to poop in an elevator at the St. Lucie County Courthouse. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yep, she just pooped in the elevator. Why not?
Yeah.
Couldn't wait.
When you gotta go, you gotta go, right?
Yeah.
She's in an elevator. She's in a building that probably has bathrooms.
Yep, but she couldn't wait.
She just couldn't hold it. She's like, it's coming out now. Close your eyes, Billy. No!
There's a little kid in the elevator.
Just a little kid by himself. No, please. Oh, my gosh. Well, elevators, like, are sometimes it can be crowded. So does she just, like, hide behind somebody? Just let it rip? Somebody feels something, like, soft inside their shoe? Like, oh, God. What's going on?
Oh,
no! Or some elevators have, like, those mirrors so you can, like, watch. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so this elevator pooper.
Yep, so we had that. And then we also had a couple of weeks ago, Amy Goldberg, who was accused of smearing dog poop on the face and arms of her neighbor, because the neighbor's pooch pooped on her lawn.
Yeah, I remember that. She was like an old lady too, wasn't she?
57 years old.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's not that old.
So wow. There you go. We have three confirmed Florida fecal felons right there.
Right.
And now we're going to have a fourth one.
Oh, God.
Yep.
I'm sure there's probably many more that we just don't know about, too.
Well, here you go. Number four. Florida may be known as the Sunshine State, but the police had to deal with a suspect who had to deal with an area where the sun don't shine. So here you go. The latest Floridian is 18-year-old Caitlin Patricia Feligi. She was arrested after she allegedly broke into and damaged her ex-boyfriend's home. A Pinellas County Sheriff's deputy who was driving Feligi to jail said that she decided to defecate right in the back of the squad car.
Yeah, why not?
The deputy said Feligi was able to remove her pants and pooped all over the police cruiser. So we're not talking about, like, just one thing. We're talking about everywhere. If that's the best way I can describe it.
It's explosive.
Yes.
Bang. Oh, my God. Did a gun go off?
Oh, my God. The cop said that the poo-stained patrol car had to be out of commission for 8 hours. Guess what? I didn't know this was a thing. You can actually make the prison inmates clean your car if you're a cop.
Really?
And
that's messed up.
And that's what the prison inmates had to do. They were forced to clean it up for 8 hours.
Wow. I would be super pissed at that, the person that did that.
18-year-old Flaggy has since been charged with criminal mischief, burglary, and simple domestic assault.
Domestic assault for pooping or for...
Well, no, that was from assaulting the ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I forgot. I completely forgot about that part. I'm so concerned with paying attention to her crapping in the back of this police cruiser. Completely forgot why she was in the back of the police cruiser in the first place.
Yep. So, there you go. We now have a club.
Fantastic Four Florida Fecal Felons.
Yeah. There you go. Gregory Bruni... Patricia Jamison, Amy Goldberg, and now Caitlin Feligi, Thank you for giving us material to work with here on the non-fortune cookie.
Like a superhero team.
Odd news. Yeah.
They're a superhero team of feces. It's the fecal four.
It's the...
The feces four.
The poop vengers.
The poop vengers. The poo vengers.
Yeah, poo vengers.
It's the poo vengers initiative.
Yeah.
Oh, instead of Nick Fury, it's like Nick... Feces. I don't know why. Just make everybody end with the name feces or fecal. We're such like grade schoolers when it comes to stories like these.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what? It's true. These are all true stories.
You can't script this stuff.
No. And there you go with the full-on announcement of the fantastic Florida fecal felons. That will conclude our non-fortune cookie odd news. What a gang.
What a gang, yeah.
What a crack team we got there.
We've assembled a team of experts.
Of expert poopers.
Expert poopers. Amy, who specializes in explosive diarrhea. What are the other ones? What did they all do?
We got... this might work. Wait a minute. We got the explosive... The expert in explosive diarrhea.
Oh, wait. So what's her name? Amy?
No, that one was Caitlin.
Okay, Caitlin. Caitlin. Explosive diarrhea.
Amy's the one that is an expert on pet poop.
Amy, pet poop.
Patricia's the one who pooped on an elevator. I don't know what you want to do with that.
The elevator. What was her name?
Patricia.
Why are they all women?
Well, no, the last one is a guy, Gregory.
Okay.
And he's the one that was on a meth spree and pooped in two spots.
The multi-pooper.
The multi-pooper. So, there you go.
Here we are, the crack squad of Poovengers. We have Caitlin, explosives expert. Amy, the pet expert. Patricia, the elevator. And Greg, the multi-pooper. This summer, Poovengers. Age of crap.
Age of Florida.
Age of Florida. Poovengers, assemble and defecate. We have to stop Loki.
Thanks, Florida. This is what you have to give us.
This is what, well, I think that's a great gift from Florida.
There you go. The Poovengers. If you need...
We're like children.
If you need someone to take a dump on a neighbor's lawn, consult these guys.
Instead of the A team, it's the P team.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. There you go.
Is that the right theme?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yep, you got it.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so there you go. That's what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Before we end the show, it's time to go over all of the important lessons that we learned in our What Have We Learned feature.
It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind loves flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned?
Well, we learned about the great new superhero team called the Poovengers, featuring Caitlin, the explosives expert, Amy, the pet pooper, Patricia, the elevator, and Greg, the multi-pooper.
The explosives expert.
They could also be called the P-Team. But we know them as the Florida Fecal Felons, or Triple F. So many superhero team names for this group of public poopers. Gotta love Florida. Gotta love them.
Yeah.
We also learned, speaking of Florida, if you're planning on going on a meth binge, try surfing on a car. We hear it's fun.
Yeah.
And make sure to play Surfing USA.
That's your theme song.
Yeah. Yeah. We also learned that porn at a library would be a great thing. The only problem, though, is that it's in the reference section, so it has to stay in the library.
Yeah.
You have to take your notes there.
Yep.
Yeah. We also learned about the amazing new university opening up, BSU, Banana State University.
Oh, yeah.
The Dean of Students is Gwen Stefani herself.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. You can earn majors in such thrilling classes as banana splits, whipped cream application, cocaine smuggling. You can get a BS degree in bananaology or a BA in nanas.
There you go. That's what we offer at Banana State University.
Yeah, it's a great university. It's totally accredited. Send us your tuition. It's $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Totally legit. Totally above board. We'll see you in
or
the fall.
Or cocaine.
Or what?
Or $50,000 in cocaine.
Yeah, or cocaine. Yeah,
whatever works.
We'll accept either money or cocaine.
Yep.
Yeah, we're very flexible that way. We offer a great number of scholarship packages. So, it's all in bananas, though.
It's all our financial aid office.
Yes. Oh.
And do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
There you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! Man.
Another great episode.
Banana State University coming at you soon.
I would really love it if that were a thing.
Folks, gems like that is what makes the Crispy Noodle Podcast the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos of our best bits, interviews, and other fun segments we've done. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right, and we have a SoundCloud page where we post mini noodles, which are the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, condensed to 1 to 2 minute promos that you can share with friends and family and your fellow students at Banana State University and Gwen Stefani. And
yes, especially Gwen Stefani.
Yes. Share with her immediately.
Yes, at Gwen Stefani. No, don't do that. I don't know what her Twitter handle is.
But there you go. You can listen to the podcast on the go that way as well.
Yeah, and speaking of Banana State University, we're going to be launching an educational podcast series. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But you can get in contact with us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And that's how you can tweet at us individually if you'd like.
Hashtag Bananaology.
Hashtag Banana State University.
Hashtag Nicki Minaj.
Well, that's Mike.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Apparently, you know.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing after the show?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we got to wrap up.
Oh, okay.
I'm meeting Nicki at the I don't know.
You better find out.
Yeah, I got to find out. Oh, man.
Jeez.
She's going to be pissed.
All right. Mike's in a hurry. He needs to go. So we'll wrap it up. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow!
Something!